This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Bills GM Brandon Bean was a guest on the Jerry and Joe show.
Jerry and Joe. Jerry and Joe.
Jerry and Joe.
Jerry and Joe.
Jerry and Joe.
Jerry and Joe.
You're listening to
Jerry and Joe on WGRN Buffalo.
Hey-o. You know, my name might have been Jerry if my dad had his choice.
Really?
Yeah. He wanted Jerome. And my mom wanted...
All right.
Here we go. Why not?
Yeah, I've got something on this too. So go ahead.
He wanted Jerome, and I think my mom wanted Jeremiah. And
yeah.
I'm like, all right, well, Jeremy. That's how it came to be. He wanted Jerome. So I was almost a Jerry.
Almost Jerome.
Almost.
Yeah, Jerome goes to Jerry every
yep.
time, right?
I was almost a Jerry.
Okay.
And my mom called me Jeremiah all the time, no matter what. Whenever she's mad at me, not only mad, but she called me Jeremiah a lot. But yeah, the tone that was used on Monday would have been a Jeremiah.
Yes.
Kind of tone at me.
Okay.
That would have been a Jeremiah if GM wants to use that next time.
Yeah.
Jeremiah.
If my dad had his way, at least this is how it's been told to me, my first name would be Bruno.
Jerry and Bruno.
Yeah.
I like it. What's wrong with Bruno?
We don't talk about Bruno.
There we go.
I don't know. I'm good with Joe.
You don't want to be a Bruno?
I'm good with Joe. No, not necessarily.
Well, if your name was Bruno, your life would have changed when Encanto came out the way that my life changed when Pearl Jam's Jeremy came out. And I saw that video. I thought, like, oh, well, this is now my... People are going to say this to me for the rest of my life.
Interesting.
Yep. I was in high school when that song came out. That album came out.
Not like Seinfeld?
What Seinfeld?
Anything? Like Seinfeld, like well, that's Jerry. Never mind. So that wouldn't have done anything.
Right. Happy Thursday, everybody. We've got lots coming up. Actually, we're gonna check in with Paul and talk a little Sabres for a few minutes, and that'll be like 7:30. We're gonna talk with Jerry Ostrowski, former Buffalo Bill, at 9:00, and we've also reached out to someone that covers the Jets. To try and get the Jets side of the Elijah Moore story, because he was drafted by the Jets and then goes to the Browns and now is a Bill. 1 year, up to $5 million to join the Buffalo Bills.
Yeah.
And they get a wide receiver that makes a lot of sense.
Yes. Fits skill set and.
Yeah. Fits some needs. The timeline of all this was that. He came in before the draft. They met with him before the draft. They told him, hang on, let's see how the draft goes.
Uh-huh.
For obvious reasons, because they were intending on likely taking a receiver. That didn't happen because it never worked out that way. They circle back in office terminology. And here's Elijah Moore for 1 year, $5 million. We got to get Sal back to explain how, because we were talking about that unrestricted or un-free agent, whatever.
UFA tender or whatever.
Yeah, there's a UFA tender we all kind of learned about and how that was going to affect the timing. But the Bills wasted no time and paid him, and his incentive goes up to $5 million. So there you have it.
We'll get more from that on Sal. My understanding of it is, though, is it only affects Cleveland. That they get into the compensatory formula now.
That's right.
Because
of
this.
The way that it affected the Bills is he was basically going to need to make a minimum salary.
Right. So they had to bid against a number.
Yes.
$3.4 million.
And they likely went above that, at least in some incentives.
Yeah.
Maybe the guaranteed number is the 3.4, and the incentive is the 1.5 on top of that. And depending on what the incentive is, it may be pretty darn close to 1 year, $5 million.
Right. And really, Moore probably didn't want to go back to Cleveland.
Yep.
Right? Like, okay, $3.4 million would have been guaranteed. That's nice. But you're trying to further your career. He's 25 years old. He's played on two teams that have had god-awful quarterbacks all the way through. The Jets with Zach Wilson, and then the Browns with Watson and Dorian Thompson-Robinson and the other seven quarterbacks they've played in the last 2 years. So, and that's not solved. Right? That's a four-way quarterback competition that he would be going back to had he said, oh, yeah, I'll stay in Cleveland for the 3.4. And didn't they kind of just take his spot away? Like, is there even it's not to say the Bills have a spot for him. It might be the same.
I think they have a spot for him.
They have at least a spot in the top five. Cleveland, though, the spot that he had last year where he was second on the team in targets at wide receiver, he was the number two guy. I mean, now it's Jerry Jeudy, Cedric Tillman, Deontay Johnson. So it's not even like you just have this wide open opportunity in Cleveland where you're the number two. You're not the number two anymore. So at that point, if it's, well, I'm a depth receiver here versus I'm a depth receiver there, the money's almost the same. Josh Allen here, winning here, Shedeur Sanders drama and Dylan Gabriel over here. Okay, yeah, I'll go to Buffalo.
You know, it's one thing we should probably consider about these receivers. There's, I want to play with Josh Allen.
Sure.
That makes a lot of sense, right?
Yeah.
Bills are a winning organization, but without trying to take a shot at the Bills receiver core, if you are a guy that thinks you've got some ability, you probably look at this group and say, I can definitely get in there. I can definitely get on the field.
Sure.
Mac Hollins did it last year. Mac Hollins, so I've got some Bills of last year, the receivers they had last year. So Hollins signs with the Bills for 1 year, 2.6. That was it.
Yep.
2.6 for Hollins, which is about, what, half of what Elijah Moore has signed for. 1 year, 2.6. And Hollins lived in that neighborhood for a while. His previous year, his previous contracts were 2.5, 2.6, and then now in New England, his base salary is like 4.2. So Hollins got a nice little raise, and the Bills were not willing to pay him that 4.2. And if I'm being honest, Elijah Moore is a better idea than Mac Hollins.
Yes.
I think he's a better receiver than Mac Hollins. And I think Elijah Moore has the potential to be better than Amari Cooper was last year. So does Josh Palmer. The Bills have, for, you know, $15 million in the form of Palmer and Moore, probably upgraded a little bit. So whatever. There's a lot, there's a lot to get into with regard to all of it. It's been a week. I mean, we've had a week, as evidenced by the existence and the coining of the Jerry and Joe show, courtesy of, you know, the shouty shows. But the Bills have made a nice move here, a move that we talked about before the draft. He's probably the best of the UFA ideas out there, better than Keenan Allen, better idea than
bringing Cooper back.
Yeah, I think he's the. I thought he was the best of the free agent ideas on buy low and see what this can become. 1 year, up to $5 million. He's young. He could parlay it into something. It could also be a Mac Hollins situation where he plays really well and they decide not to sign him, and we're kind of back in the same boat. So,
right.
This reminds me of a Beasley Brown kind of signing. It reminds me of a Mac Hollins signing. And to the larger point on what they do at this position, if they want to do it this way where, hey, let's keep finding guys on other teams that we think are better than their production. And let's keep taking hits at that. They could absolutely shine a guy up. That is kind of what they did on Diggs' side, but that was obviously a much higher level. That was, this guy's really good, really good. We think with us he can become great. And he did. He elevated to another level. So you see an awful lot of receivers, Joe, go from wherever they were to a level above with the Bills.
Almost every guy they've brought in, that was Brown.
Yep.
That was Beasley.
Hollins. Diggs.
Hollins.
Davis. Yep. Davis is the opposite. Amazing here. Not good anywhere else, really. Not worth much anywhere else.
Right. Cooper's at the end, and it's like half a season. So like, it's tough to kind of quantify that one. But I mean, that's enough right there. Like, those are their big receiver moves.
Yep.
For the most part, over the last 5 years. So
yeah, and I would imagine if you throw years. Khalil Shakir somewhere else, he might be a nice player. I don't know if he'd have the same kind of production he has here. Here they build him, they build the offense for him in some cases where he gets manufactured touches and he's really productive. So Moore makes a ton of sense. They have 3 to 4. I want to say, you hear me talk all the time about reception perception and Matt Harmon, who. What he does is he pulls receivers out of their system, out of their quarterback, out of their production, and says, here's how good they are. Does he win on this route? Does he win on that route? Does he win against man? Does he win against press? And the one thing that I think might be true of both Moore, all three, Samuel, Moore, and Palmer, is I think they might all be modest reception perception darlings. Yeah. Where, ooh, I kind of like this guy. It's never really popped for him, but I've liked him for a while. That was Harmon on Curtis Samuel, and that's Harmon on Elijah Moore, too. Elijah Moore, there's a lot to like, and I like that it's 1 year five. It wouldn't surprise me at all if he comes in and pushes someone down the depth chart. It's worth pointing out last year that Mac Hollins came in, and while the Bills can act like that was the plan, he pushed guys down the depth chart. Mac Hollins beat out Curtis Samuel, and he beat out Keon Coleman for snaps. And he won't do that this year, but it might be Elijah Moore that beats out other players for snaps. So I think he's firmly in the mix for wide receiver 3.
Yes.
If Shakir
him and Samuel are battling at the very least.
I saw right? Mike Clay suggest, could Samuel be the odd man out? Which I don't know that they have the depth to do that.
I also don't think I think he costs way more
he does.
To get rid of him. So I don't think that's happening.
I don't think that's happening either. But this is probably going to be some reasonable guaranteed money at signing. By comparison, when the Bills signed Mac Hollins, it was 1.1 guaranteed.
Yeah.
And he played his way into a heck of a role. When they signed MVS, it was 2.2 guaranteed at signing.
What was that worth up to? Like 4?
MVS?
You have that there. I think it was worth up to 4 something. But either way, it was less. Whatever it was less.
I think the whole thing was 1 year for 2.25. I don't see anything.
Okay.
I don't see anything about what it was up to.
Okay. All right.
But I might need a SpotTrack subscription a little better to find that out.
Yeah.
So anyway.
I like the move. I think it is also the type of skill set they didn't really have. He played.
He's fast.
He's fast. He runs down the field. He can play in the slot. I think last year it was like 40% in the slot, 60% outside. But for most of his career, it's been more on the outside. So that separation and route tree that he has, I don't know that they have another type like that. I mean, Coleman is not that type, and neither is Shakir, or I think Samuel is maybe the closest thing that resembles that, which is why maybe they're competing for a role or for snaps. I also feel like they can make that rotation entirely work altogether, where they're all getting 30% of the snaps. Mm-hmm. That's kind of how they played it at the end of last year. When Cooper got back healthy, you had and Samuel was healthy too, and he made some plays, right? The touchdown against Denver, and he made a play in the Chiefs game in the regular season. When he got healthy, he was a part of the rotation, at least in terms of the snap count. So I would expect that these are probably going to be your 5 receivers, and they're all going to play. And that doesn't mean Moore is going to – he might not put up the numbers he did last year in Cleveland. He might also be twice as efficient. Right, he's not going to get 102 targets. Is there even that upside? Maybe there's that upside, but it's very slim that he would get 102 targets in this offense like he did in Cleveland last year.
If he does, how many did Mac Hollins get?
Not 100.
Not 100, but 60.
What do you think the number was? You think 60?
I think he had 65.
He had 50.
50 targets.
He caught 31 passes on 50 targets. Okay. And maybe that's something around what Moore could get, or maybe a little bit more. But
I would put on the bet board he gets more than 50.
More than 50 targets?
Yep. I think he's going to fit in really well. And the Bills, you know, whatever. Like,
yeah.
Brandon Bean can say, why are we talking about wide receiver? Because everybody sees you don't have enough there. That's why. and then you add somebody there, which makes total sense. So where can Moore slot in? Who is definitely better than him? Josh Palmer's had a slightly better career and looks like a nice player.
And they would certainly appear to believe, and the league would, that Palmer is better because he got a money. Much bigger contract.
He got twice as much.
Yeah.
Twice as much. So Palmer, but he plays on the outside primarily. And with Moore, I just think that Moore is a lot like Curtis Samuel, except a little more outside chops than Curtis Samuel. But the speed element,
that's right.
I mean, Moore is probably going to fit in great for the screen game that they run, so it won't just be Shakir. I kind of want to watch some of his film and say, how would he have done on the 3rd and 10 on the final drive of the AFC Championship game against the Chiefs? I know that's digging into one play.
Right.
But if they had somebody else that wasn't Amari Cooper, who I don't think had a great skill set for that.
Yeah. And by the way, on the volume versus efficiency point, like if he doesn't get 100 targets and he gets 67, he might catch as many balls as he did last year. Or maybe he catches, you know, a much higher percentage. Last year, he caught 61 passes on 102 targets. Only 65 of his targets were catchable. 65 were catchable because of his quarterback play. That's 185 receivers in the league last year. He had the 15th lowest rate of catchable targets.
This is kind of how it works. All right, so he had 100 targets last year for Cleveland.
Yeah.
And that's on how many snaps? Can you look that up?
Yes. He last year played 76% of the snaps.
Okay, 76% of the offensive snaps. That's a good number. I mean, I don't think too many Bills receivers are hitting 76%.
I would agree with that.
So he's on the field a bunch. Here's what's going to happen here. Those passes are going to be catchable. He's going to prove to produce, and then that's going to earn targets. Like, that's how this will always work. It'll always work that if it's working, they'll go to you. You will earn targets. How did Mac Hollins get more than we thought? He produced pretty early in the season. Look at this guy. Let's keep throwing to Mac. And Shakir, of course, that's the case. Kincaid, when it's working, you season one, he got a lot of targets, got a lot of catches. Season two, there's injuries. It's not working the same. So why didn't they go back to Keon Coleman in the second half of the season? First half, it starts to work. He gets hurt, and then it's gone. And he does not get the same number of targets. He certainly doesn't get the same number of catches. He's not on the field that much in the AFC Championship game.
Yeah.
I just think this is a really nice ad and something that the Bills, I mean, you don't exactly want to celebrate or spike the football over a player that signed after the draft, but you might not find many more impact players that are signed that make a bigger impact than this one will, I think.
And this is a part of the whole conversation about even the minutes before Bean came on the air on Monday, we did talk about when they signed guys like this last year and that they still could do it because I think everybody believed there needed to be one more receiver, a veteran especially, that has played in the league in this room because you have a lot of ifs at that position and some of them are injury, some of those are development, and if Curtis Samuel, you know, twists his ankle in training camp, then I'm at Tyrell Shavers is playing meaningful snaps for me. And do I like Tyrell Shavers, but am I really comfortable with that being the plan going into a year as he is the immediate backup plan? And when they've often had guys, like last year, when that happens, guys that have played in the league, veterans that are ready to step in. And they didn't even have that option. And now they have it. And the Bills just admitted to they thought they needed another guy in the room and that they, even Bean also said this in his press conference after the draft, that they thought they were going to draft a receiver higher than they did.
Yes.
And to me, this is proof of that, that there was room for another guy. Bean said they thought they would draft a guy before round 7. They said they checked in with Moore before the draft. It all adds up to there needed to be another body in this wide receiver room. Someone of consequence in this room that isn't, you know, a guy that's a kick returner and maybe we'll see if he could play on offense.
Can I give you a couple of comps from Matt Harmon at Reception Perception? Because
there's
some interesting stuff in here. When I say he's a darling of this website, Diggs was a darling of this website. And personal story, I draft all of my fantasy football receivers based on what Matt Harmon says, and I have stud receivers everywhere. It's a great site to pull out what receivers do. So he says, Elijah Moore was one of Reception Perception's biggest flag plant players coming into his second NFL season. He didn't do a ton, but He looked the part. He looked great. Everything seemed to be lining up for a breakthrough campaign for the gifted young receiver, and yet he ended up at odds with his coaching staff and ended up in a dramatically reduced role.
Right.
If that sounds familiar, it should. There's some distinct differences, but it's not too dissimilar to what took place with Brandon Ayuk 1 year prior.
Yeah.
He's talking about, this guy looks good. He's playing with a bum. He's with an offense that doesn't know what it's doing. Sometimes receivers get treated as divas. Other times, you're the only one out here qualified because you're playing with Zach Wilson.
Yeah.
Or you're playing with who would have been the offensive coordinator at that time? Adam Gase. I go back and check some Jets offensive coordinators.
I don't even remember.
Hey,
Mike White might have been playing quarterback at times.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Like, listen, I'm good, and my career's being wasted. He goes to Cleveland. He's supposed to be paired with Deshaun Watson, of course. Deshaun Watson, that blows up. So if you're Elijah Moore, you have been in the league for a little while, searching for a home where you can finally show what you can do. And if this is one of the Bills' little models here to shine up receivers like this, as we just laid out with Beasley and Brown, and I think it's a good idea. That might be a reasonable model.
Shouldn't it also speak to what they think of him as the player and as the potential upside of the player when this isn't Mac Collins, you know, he's going to come in and be a leader and be a voice in that locker room. Like, that's what Hollins was described in those ways very early on after he signed with the Bills. That, hey, his value is not just going to be this on the field. It's not just going to even be a wide receiver. It's going to be special teams. It's going to be what he does in the locker room. It's going to be leading Keon Coleman and young guys. Whereas Elijah Moore got into that beef with the Jets that saw him traded out of town because he got mad about playing time and how bad the quarterback play was and the whole thing that was happening in New York. He got into it there. He got suspended last year in Cleveland for disciplinary reasons. We talked with John and the Peterlin earlier in the week, and he did tell us that like he never heard there was ever a problem with him in the locker room, but he did get suspended for disciplinary reasons. The Bills just picked up a receiver that, you know, disciplinary suspension, got into it with the Jets even before that, and they still signed him. Wouldn't that kind of tell you they think the player is potentially really good?
Is it okay to like him even more now?
A little bit. I think that's fine.
Maybe he's got the makeup to want to be great and has been stuck in places where he can't be great.
And their willingness to sign a guy like that, to me, I think it speaks more to they think that the type of player that he's going to be on the field is exactly what they need. And I don't even know how you could debate against that. It's been most of our receiver talk during the offseason is this is the type of receiver they needed. They needed a guy that could separate and win down the field. Somebody that can even run the routes. And now, again, like you're making an assumption he makes the team, and at the moment
I definitely would.
That he will be the guy that's running those routes and pushing safeties back.
So, again, I want to read you more from reception perception. This is going back in time, but benchmarks. There are indicators here. This is the story of a wide receiver who got off on the wrong foot and might still have a lot left. This, to me, you want to make this a quarterback conversation? This is Sam Darnold. This is, wow, forget it. His career's over. He's toast. Or Geno Smith. By the way, these are all Jet stories.
These are all Jet stories. Right. Not only bet on a guy that really couldn't do it somewhere else, bet on a guy that was in two dysfunctional organizations like Cleveland and New York.
Right, right. So,
honestly,
Matt Harmon, Moore cleared not one, but two key benchmarks we look for when trying to project breakout receivers. 75% success rate against man, one of the best indicators of a high-level outside receiver, and 80% success rate against zone. We want to see that to see receivers pass if they're going to be great slot or outside players. He had both of those. Mm-hmm. Matt Harmon looked at this dude as a rookie, broke down the film, and said inside and outside, he wins. There are good indicators here. He said during his second season, the most frustrating part of his second season is, what? He was still open all the time.
Yeah.
The guy gets open. He gets open. He has been doing his part.
Yeah.
Moore's brilliance is shown in the intermediate areas where Garrett Wilson is dominant on layup routes. Moore's refinement shines through on curls, comebacks, outs, digs. Such a pro when it comes to the little factors in playing the position and creating separation from a variety of coverages.
Mm-hmm.
It really is. I don't watch these antique roadshow shows, but hey, what do you think of this thing? Like, this actually might be amazing. You know,
yeah.
There are people that have liked this player, and the NFL gives you 10 minutes to prove you can do it, and especially at that position where every single year there are 15 new sexy ideas. And there's a point here about, you know, receiver and the value of drafting them. Receiver gets expensive, and yeah, drafting them is cheap. So Elijah Moore kind of has to limp back to the league and say, all right, what can I get? Where can I go? How can I prove it?
Right. Especially when you're still young. You're 25 years old. That is, to me, the biggest difference, I think, between – maybe there are two. You just kind of spoke to the other one. Between this May signing – well, I guess it was April when they signed him, April 30th. But post-draft receiver signing this year versus the post-draft receiver signings last year. Last year, you had one guy who was 30 in Marquez Valdes-Scantling. One trick pony, downfield routes. You knew exactly what he was. He had played in the league long enough. You knew what he was. And then the other guy was Chase Claypool. Now, he was a little bit younger, but all the things we're talking about route trees and beating man coverage one-on-one and separation ability and speed down the field, Claypool didn't have any of that.
Yeah. And the level of
Claypool was just you're betting on a physical freak figuring out how to play the position in a way that he hasn't really already. Moore is more, to me, he knows how to play the position. It just hasn't really lined up yet. And to me, a bet on a guy like that is much more likely to work than the other two bets, like MBS or Claypool.
You know what they guaranteed Claypool at signing? $25,000.
Probably as low as you possibly
can. Right. Like, that's just the minimal investment. Sometimes
you get $25,000 to practice for the Bills like two times.
We did this with Trey White. When the numbers come in, what does it say?
Yeah.
And for Trey White, it was he's on the team. For Elijah, we'll see Elijah Moore, I would guarantee.
I was going to say. Like,
it's going to be a nice number of guaranteed money. He's on the team.
It would be surprising if it was like $1 million with $4 million in incentives. It's probably going to come around like three.
Oh, I think it'll
two be. Two and a half, three.
I think it'll be 3.5 to 4.
All right. Yeah.
We'll see. 803-0550. When we get back, we'll get some calls in. John, stick with us. Right to your call on the other side. We're late for a break. What do you think, Bills fans? It's been a week. What's your reaction to this? Let's talk about it. We've talked about it quite a bit, but I think it's a nice move. It's a nice move. Josh Allen gets another weapon. Jeremy and Joe, you can give us a ring. We'd love to hear from you, your thoughts on it, looking back all over the last 5 days or more as a player, and we'll get the latest on him as well. 803-0550 on WGR.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
I don't think he's been given a true fair shake of it when you look at the quarterbacks the Browns have had over the previous couple years. Having Watson play as often as he did, and then going into whether a combination of Flacco or even last year, Jameis Winston, but prior to that, Flacco, P.J. Walker, and DTR, like he's been given nothing as far as quarterbacks are concerned. I actually thought he was a better locker room guy than what he was always perceived to be as with the Jets. Like I talked to people, they liked him in that locker room.
Jonathan Peterlin of 92.3 The Fan on Elijah Moore. A little bit more on him from Reception Perception. Because, again, this goes back a couple years. He was with the Jets. Mm-hmm. His most recent profile is 2022. He wrote, players, Matt Harmon, players who are this strong as route runners just don't tend to fail. And then says, Rodgers, at that time, that's who the plan is, hasn't played with a young receiver who is this advanced as a technician and gets open like Moore can in many years.
Mm-hmm. He never played with Rodgers, right?
Nope.
He got traded before that. So I think he actually demanded a trade or asked for a trade at some point with the Jets.
Yeah. John in Albany, before we get to, I've got Elijah Moore-based trivia that will be fun. Ooh, and make Bills fans feel all right. John, good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. I want to try to get right to my point with it, but and I'll say I'm somebody who, I made sure I listened to the whole Bean conversation, the follow-up and everything, and I kind of like when somebody's ready to dance a little bit in defense of their mindset. I'm in a leadership position in my job, and I know a lot of times things go into the decisions that are made that not everybody's aware of. But I also respect that you guys, over all the, you know, yelling national media guys, you guys live and die the Bills. And so I respect that as well. But I think that, like, what I feel is, as an organization, especially with Bean, you're looking at the draft as not just something that happens over the course of a couple of days, but, like, work done before, work done after. Because I would wonder, like, what would you guys give Elijah Moore right now if you said, is he a first round? Is he a second round guy that if they just drafted him in the second round, you'd be excited about that? Or what was Holland's ultimate production last year, giving Bean credit for seeing that in him? And what would you have graded that for a draft pickup? And so is it fair if they're also picking up guys within this window at a better price? Because you talked about the fact that you have this hierarchy of positions, and we know what wide receiver money is happening at this point. So if you have the ability to read into these guys through whatever source, and you see something, and they turn out to produce for you, or even are predicted to be like a second, third round where we would have been really pleased with, is it not fair to say that, you know, maybe that's a piece of what they're thinking bigger? And in this case, he needed defense. We all knew that. But he was also working this conversation before the draft. He turned it around right after the draft. And did he deliver basically a second-round wide receiver like Reed say, yeah, this guy's going to produce? And so I got to say, and I love his approach right off the rip when that phone call came. But at the same time, there's always a lot of things we don't know about when the leadership people are doing their thing. And so I'm just kind of trying to find a, is that a fair way to look at it?
Sure. Thanks, John. Yeah, like this has been a little bit of, oh, Bean knew this was happening, which he definitely did know that Moore. We have a quote from him on it. He spoke with One Bills Live, and he said, we put a pin in it and said we'd get back to it after the draft. Because if, and can you pull it up again? That one Bean quote, I want to play this again because we got to this and we kind of laughed about this quote. Again, there's really no sense of making how mad he was about talking about wide receiver, given everything else we have learned about the last week and even before the draft. So here's Bean Monday after the incident on Elijah Moore.
Elijah Moore is here. He's a guy we've spoken to a few times leading up to the draft, and we just kind of put a pin in it, just like we did several other positions, and said, let's wait till the draft and see where we're at, see if he's still interested. If we took a guy in the first or second round, he's probably not too interested, but we didn't, and so we picked up those conversations over the weekend. He and his wife came up today and visited, and so we'll see. Nothing imminent today, anything like that, but a very good visit, and we'll see where that goes.
There you go. So they talked about it. They put a pin in it like other positions. There's probably a corner. There's probably a defensive tackle that they have spoken with, a wide receiver, a safety, all these spots. Like, hold on, let's get back to this after the draft. That's why the market kind of gums up. All the teams see what they get in the draft, and then you go back and fill in the spots you didn't get. I don't think it is reaching too far, cynical, crazy. Why did they put a pin in it? Because they wanted to get a receiver of significance, of consequence, fourth round. They wanted a receiver in the draft, and they thought they would get one. He says first or second, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
They wanted one, and it never lined up, so they went back to this one. And to the point about, you know, where would this guy rate with a versus a first or second round pick, there's a very major difference. And that is, for example, last year, Keon Coleman was a second round pick. His cap hit for the Bills was 1.8.
Mm-hmm.
His cap hit this year will be 2.2. Mm-hmm. His cap hit the following year will be 1.7, and his cap hit in the final year will be 3.2. His cap hit will never be, in four full seasons, what 1 year for a guy that waited this long is quite likely to be, which is like 3.4. So, again, when Bean got came on and got really hot, the point that was we were all attempting to get to was drafting them makes sense financially. Mm-hmm. And the Bills roster does show that. Josh Palmer, 10. Curtis Samuel, 8.
Yep.
And now Elijah Moore, maybe 5.
Yep.
That's money that if you drafted receivers, you could have that money to spend on other pieces because receivers get expensive. Don't confuse this with, what are you doing? You're an idiot. It's just these are objective, second-level conversations we have about being a GM. I know his job gets much more complicated than that, but
yep.
they wanted one, and they didn't get one, and then they circled back to Elijah Moore. He basically sat on One Bills Live. The plan was, let's talk to him. If we don't get one, we'll come back. And if you're still interested, we can have a conversation.
And the other difference, though, I will say, because that's the money part of it, the other difference between Moore and how he would stack up had they versus like a guy they had drafted in round two is you draft a guy in round two, you are most often going to give that guy every opportunity to see the field. And you might even get him on the field to get a look at him in spots, even if he hasn't 100% earned it. Because you drafted him. You put the investment into him in that draft pick. Whereas, listen, Moore, I think it's enough of an investment to believe he's going to be on the team and he's going to have a role. Also because I think he's a good enough player to earn that. Could they walk away from money like that if the player was just... If he walks in training camp and he doesn't look good at all, they will cut him. They just did that with Marquez Valdes-Scantling.
Yep.
Not maybe as much, we'll see, about the guaranteed money. They cut O.J. Howard when he had guaranteed money because he looked shot in training camp. So they definitely could walk away from it. I just don't think the player is going to give them that opportunity. I think the player is good enough where that won't happen. And the other thing I'm thinking about is, you know, John asked, like, comparing him to, like, a draft pick. He still is only 25. He is, just looked, he's the tight end the Bills just drafted in round 5, Jackson Hawes. Elijah Moore's only 8 months older than Jackson Hawes is.
Right.
Like,
if he were in this draft, where does he go? Probably in... Let's say,
well, that's what I mean, because... Like,
let's say he never played it down in the NFL.
Yeah.
He probably goes in the second or third round. Probably.
His skill set. Even if you count the NFL years. We had this conversation about Luther Burden, how he had an amazing year, and then, like, okay, well, the last time you saw him, it wasn't as good. But where he still got drafted. He still got drafted really high. And if you gave that to me about more of, hey, you had this awesome prospect, and yeah, things haven't gone so well in the last couple of years, but because of this, this, and this. But guys get drafted like that all the time, where, oh, their most recent college tape and season, Deion Walker in round 4. The most recent time you saw him in college, it didn't look good. But you still drafted him because there were built-in excuses to why that happened that made sense. For him, it's injury. For Elijah Moore, it's more about the teams he was on. I've got Lance Zierlein's draft profile from Elijah Moore open from when he was a prospect that draft. He was a guy I loved. I think I liked Rondell Moore more, but I loved both of them that year. And that to me is the start. First time it was like, okay, want to see them add a receiver around Diggs. His NFL comparison was Antonio Brown from Lance Zierlein. Strengths. Sharpening his routes over 3 years, consistent vertical push off the snap that threatens corners, makes routes look the same each time out, leverages defenders away from route breaks, caught 11 of 12 targets against Alabama, the best defense he played all season, killer sluggo route, just, I mean, point after point after point of what this guy was great at in college. So,
yep.
He has not done all of that in the pros, but I loved this player when he was coming out.
I like his chances.
And a lot of people did.
803-0550. Thanks, John, for the phone call. All right, that trivia. When we get back, it's the quarterbacks he's played with. And, you know, it's going to drive it home. Jeremy and Joe on WGR.
Play action on first down. As Winston throws to the end zone, it is caught. Touchdown, Elijah Moore.
All right, Elijah Moore-based trivia. Bills add a wide receiver. We like it.
Yes.
Can we hit the sound effect we have been legally permitted to use again? Did somebody say, like, oh, we're never blowing the train horn again? Get out of here. Are you nuts? It's a one-year contract. We're right back into the draft next year. Anyway, quarterbacks to start more than three games during Elijah Moore's career. All right? He's on a team playing receiver. Okay. Quarterbacks with which he has appeared within a game three times or more.
Okay. Joe Flacco.
That is correct.
Between two teams, I think.
There are
Jets and
seven
Browns.
Answers here.
Okay.
One of these is kind of wild, and I got to like look up that this guy actually played for this team because I kind of don't remember it, but yes.
Deshaun Watson.
That is correct. Three games with this. Yes, Deshaun Watson, yes.
It was only three? Or was more?
It's
was
at least,
more.
Sorry.
At least three. Okay.
At least three, yeah.
Does Dorian Thompson-Robinson get there?
Yes.
Okay.
So you have Joe Flacco, Deshaun Watson, Dorian Thompson-Robinson.
Jameis.
Jameis Winston is correct.
I think Moore had a huge game last year. Wasn't there a Thursday night game where Winston had like 500 yards?
Denver, maybe?
That sounds right. Jets. Zach Wilson.
Correct.
I wonder if that would be the guy with the most starts here. Mike White.
Correct. Last year,
current Bill.
Elijah Moore had 8 for 111.
Yeah.
Against the Broncos.
Yeah. Judy might have had more than that.
8 for 85 against Baltimore also.
Okay. That's 6, so I only have one more. You said there were 7? Or there's more
yep,
than that?
You got Zach Wilson, Mike White, Deshaun Watson, Joe Flacco, Dorian Thompson-Robinson, and Jameis Winston.
Is this the guy I'm missing that you had to look up because it just didn't seem right?
I did not remember this player playing three games.
Is it... both these teams just always have so many quarterbacks.
Right.
The Browns and Jets. These are the two quarterback t-shirt teams, right?
Right now.
Like,
yep.
Quarterbacks in my lifetime, and it's like the list that goes like down to the bottom of your shirt. Like, these are the two teams.
He should use that phrase when he is introduced to the media. Yeah, I've been playing with the quarterback t-shirt teams.
Yeah, exactly.
We happen to come to Josh Allen.
Man.
I'd think of this guy most famously with Carolina. I did not realize he played for the Browns for three games with Elijah Moore.
Carolina?
Yeah. I associate him with Carolina. Because he beat Tom Brady.
Jake DeLome's in my head. That's long, far too long ago.
This guy has a win.
Oh, P.J. Walker.
P.J. Walker.
It's a good hint. I only remember that because I remember thinking about P.J. Walker. He'll be able to tell his grandkids, I beat Tom Brady in the game.
That's right.
I started and beat Tom Brady.
That's the scrap heap of quarterbacks.
It's pretty tough.
There's some shine-up moments for Winston and Flacco, but...
Yeah, they were at least gunslingers that would throw the ball down the field.
Yeah.
Everyone else is terrible.
Terrible. Elijah Moore had a 100-yard game last season in Denver. And again, the game against Baltimore. Here's the thing that's noteworthy. Two double-digit target games last year.
Yeah.
To me, that's something. A couple of eights.
Or how many Bills? Was it just Shakir? Would have had multiple double-digit target games. Did Shakir even have one? He must have.
Yeah, he did.
He must have.
But what's the... like? It makes me want to dig into the numbers of what's the average catchable target rate in the NFL? What's Josh Allen's catchable target rate throwing to receivers? Because you pointed out that Elijah Moore last season, the catchable target rate was terrible.
Right.
Is quarterbacks just miss him all the time?
I could tell you what the players on the Bills had, like
okay.
The receivers.
Okay.
Should I throw Cooper out? Because Cooper's actually one of the 15 below Moore.
Sure.
But a lot of his targets were Cleveland.
Okay.
And that obviously lines up. Catchable target rate, Shakir, 77%. For context, again, Moore was 63%. Ty Johnson, 76. That's a running back, though. Matt Collins, 68%. Keon Coleman, 67%. Dalton Kincaid, 65%. I guess the Bills had some guys that were a little bit lower on this list.
Yeah.
Kincaid we knew about, right? Because Kincaid was one of the highest tight ends at that position.
The big drop-off.
James Cook, though, 92%. Dawson Knox, 73%. So, you know, maybe not as high as you might have thought with Josh Allen as the quarterback, but all higher than Moore.
Yeah. 803-0550, Elijah Moore to the Bills. We're talking about it with you. Give us a ring, 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550 on WGR.